This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Carr joins me live in studio. He's a senior attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. Good afternoon, David.
Afternoon, Coy.
Thank you so much for coming in. We were talking before we went on the air, and I happened to mention to you that I met another locally famous David Carr, and you said that's your dad, and I did not know that.
That's right, class of 50 at UVA.
I actually had the opportunity to interview your dad for my History on the Corner and had a wonderful chat with him. He is truly a great guy, and I appreciated meeting him. And you were telling me that he used to take you over to Van Leer's Pool Hall on the corner when you were a kid.
That's right. That's one of the things I remember. Just growing up here, Coy, is one reason I work with the Southern Environmental Law Center, given my interest in the local community and the countryside here. And in 1986, I came back here. I'd been in Seattle practicing law. Came back here to help Rick Middleton, the founder of the Southern Environmental Law Center, get the organization off the ground.
Tell us exactly what the SELC is, because oftentimes, you know, there's a lot of us who will see it. We'll see it in the paper, you know, so-and-so from the Southern Environmental Law Center. We'll catch mentions of it without really knowing exactly what it is.
Well, we're a nonprofit organization that represents other environmental groups and conservation groups across the region. We cover six states: Virginia, the Carolinas, Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee. And in 20 years, we've protected hundreds of places from the mountains to the coast and helped create and defend strong safeguards for the environment. We've worked in collaboration with more than 100 local, state, and national groups and probably handled about 500 projects and cases over the 20-year period. We work with local groups like the Piedmont Environmental Council, the Nature Conservancy. We can represent them, but we don't charge them for our time. We raise money from individuals and foundations to support the organization.
Fantastic. Now share with us perhaps some of the more memorable cases that stick out in your mind, because if I'm not mistaken, then you were the first attorney that Rick hired there at the SELC.
That's right. There were two of us in the beginning, and we've certainly grown. But the threats that we deal with have grown as well. The South, very rapidly growing region of the country, it's now constitutes 36% of the nation's population. And some of our states are the fastest growing states in the country.
Wow. Gosh.
And along with that growth comes pressures on water and air and pressures on the rural countryside. But we've grown enough now and gotten to the position where we're in a unique place where we can help deal with these issues across the South. Our attorneys, some of them with 20 years of experience in this arena, are able to use all aspects of the law. Not just litigation, but policy development and legislation development to address the pressing issues around the region.
And what's the vision when you say the Southern Environmental Law Center? What is the vision to protect and ensure and to remind people, I guess, in the courtrooms and at those big, long, nice wooden tables and those nice offices to sit down and remind folks that these natural resources are priceless?
Right. We educate the public, but we also work hard to educate decision makers. And we've learned that litigation is not enough. You have to follow that through to achieve long-lasting and permanent results. And so we work not just there, but in the legislatures and in the agencies. And we're now up to 32 attorneys in our six states. And we work in five areas that focus on the most important issues in the Southeast. That includes the public lands work that we do, dealing with Southern Appalachian National Forest and the national parks in the region. We do coastal and wetlands protection. We have a lot of coasts, obviously, in the Southeast. And the South has more than half of the wetlands remaining in the lower 48. We have a clean water and rivers project, clean air and clean energy project. And our latest project is our land and community project that focuses on urban sprawl and development issues, and we've recently added focus on Charlottesville and Albemarle to that, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Yeah, probably. That's really exciting. We're talking with David Carr. He's a senior attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center, celebrating 20 years, their 20th anniversary of good work here in the South. David Carr is a senior attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center, and he joins me live in studio to talk about the 20th anniversary of the SELC. David, give us some idea of some of the memorable cases that come to your mind that really paint a picture of what the Law Center does.
Right, Coy. Just before I go into a couple of those cases, I want to just mention that all the issues and resources I talked about before are intertwined. If you just think about the rivers starting in the mountain forest and running through the Blue Ridge and through the Piedmont and emptying into the Chesapeake Bay and down at the coast, all these things are tied together. Likewise, if you've got a coal-fired power plant in western Virginia, we're ending up breathing that pollution here in Charlottesville, and then it's falling in trout streams and other resources across the state. So we're having to address these problems in the larger picture. With their experience and expertise, we're trying to develop initiatives that cut across media and resources. One of the cases I want to talk about is our public lands work. We're fortunate to have almost 5 million acres of national forest land in the southern Appalachians in the 6 states we work. And 1.7 million acres of that is in the George Washington National Forest just west of here, starting in Nelson and Augusta. And we've added protection for 2 million of those 5 million acres through our 20 years of work, including nearly 400,000 acres of roadless areas. These are the least developed, best places left in the national forest. And that's a good example because back in the 90s, we were challenging proposals to put new roads into these areas, which are very expensive and very damaging to the environment. And then we worked with the last administration in the late 90s to develop a rule that would protect these areas for the long term. And then in the current administration, Bush administration, we've been working with Congress to try to stop the Bush administration from taking away those protections for those areas that were already protected. So nothing's really ever permanent, and we have to keep vigilant on all these things. But we've made some progress. Senator Warner here in Virginia and Senator Webb are co-sponsors of the bill in the Senate to permanently protect roadless areas. The other case that I want to talk about today was the Duke Power case. This is a case that went to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, this was a big, big case, wasn't it?
Yes. This focuses on the dirty coal-fired power plants in the region. We have a lot of old coal-fired power plants that do not have modern pollution control equipment. And when I say modern, I'm talking about pollution control equipment that's been available since the 80s, let's say.
Yeah, like scrubbers that can really clean the stuff before it comes out of the stacks.
Exactly, that reduce the sulfur dioxide pollution.
And just before you continue, to give people an idea of how bad this affects us, because, you know, somebody moves here, and even somebody who grew up here, you look around, you don't see any one little one at UVA, but we don't see these big coal-burning power plants. And yet, when you look at the Blue Ridge, there's some folks who will move here from California or Minnesota, and they'll move here and they'll look at the Blue Ridge in the summertime and they'll think that what they're looking at is just summer haze, when in fact you're looking at one of the most polluted national parks in the country.
That's right. That's
a direct result of those coal-burning power plants in the Ohio River Valley, right?
Exactly. Those sulfur dioxide emissions combine with water vapor to just basically block visibility in the summertime. That's why we can't see the mountains much of the summer months. There's been some progress on that, but one area where there hasn't been progress is in cleaning up adequately these dirty power plants. And EPA was taking enforcement action against these plants in the late 90s, and we intervened in a case against Duke Power to try to get them to put on scrubbers on many of their dirty plants. And this ruling would affect other plants as well. And EPA lost in the lower courts and decided under the Bush administration not to proceed forward. We took the case and asked the Supreme Court to hear it, and they did. We asked them in 2005. They accepted the case in early 2006. And in April of this year, April 2nd, we got a unanimous ruling from the court agreeing with us that these dirty coal-fired power plants needed to put on modern pollution control when they made changes to these plants.
Why did the power companies fight it? Is it so outrageously expensive to them to add these new cleaners, which they're not that new, like you point out? They've been around for 20 years. They just aren't paying the bill to fix up their power plants.
Well, there is a cost involved, but when you spread it across all the ratepayers, it would be not much on your electric bill. And many utilities have done it. Dominion here in Virginia, settled their enforcement action by EPA and agreed to put on these scrubbers on these plants. But Duke fought it. We took it to the Supreme Court and won. And that ruling, if it's enforced throughout the country against these plants, has the potential to reduce sulfur dioxide emissions by 90%. That would take out 1.7 million tons per year out of the atmosphere that's coming out of these plants.
And one of those things that's coming out of those coal-burning power plants is mercury, and not many people realize that that mercury is actually coming out of those plants, and that is incredibly, incredibly dangerous to know that we're just gushing mercury into the air.
Exactly. That's another issue that we're working on with regard to these plants.
Yeah. Would, as a result of this case and hoped for enforcement, would we then see perhaps a difference when we look up at the Blue Ridge?
Oh, yes. Yes. If scrubbers are put on all these plants, it'd be a dramatic difference. I mean, they used to say when the Shenandoah National Park was created in the 1930s, you could, from up near Front Royal, you could see the Washington Monument from there. And
wow.
There's no way you can do that now.
I don't think so.
But interestingly, on the same day that our Duke Power case was decided, the Supreme Court decided a case where Massachusetts sued EPA to try to get them to regulate carbon dioxide emissions for the purpose of addressing global warming. And the Supreme Court also ruled that day that EPA needed to address CO2 emissions to address global warming.
Were you surprised by these rulings out of this particular court?
Well, we felt pretty good
about...
Or have
you been doing this so long you're not surprised by anything anymore?
Well, you can't be surprised. You have to be ready for it to go either way. Because
yeah,
you can't count on a court to go. But we had a strong case, and we were fortunate to win the case. But to win it unanimously, we were surprised by that. The global warming case was a little closer. It was 5-4. But it's very important in that it gave the message to EPA and to others, to industry, that we're going to have to start regulating CO2 emissions to address global warming. That and the new Congress is really giving the message to industry, smart industries, that they're going to start having to clean up their carbon dioxide emissions.
David Carr is a senior attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center, celebrating 20 years this year, and you can read more online at southernenvironment.org. David, we didn't have enough time to get everything we wanted to get to today. Can you come back on sometime? Can we? Because I'd love to talk about the local initiatives and the work that y'all do here in Central Virginia.
Right. We're devoting significant resources to the Charlottesville-Albemarle area, trying to protect the rural countryside and also to continue to make Charlottesville a quality place to live. So, we'd be happy to come back and talk with that.
Good. I'll look forward to that. We'll set that up.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.